Welcome to The Leaky Nib, a podcast about pens. This is absolutely not suitable for work, and swearing is encouraged.
It's like a pen show, but it's a podcast.
Welcome to episode 4
of The Leaky Nib with special guest, Hey Matthew.
Today, we have a guest with us in studio, Matthew Morse, known to most people as @HeyMatthew, or just Hey Matthew.
Hey Matthew.
Is an artist and graphic designer as well as husband and dad, currently living in Sumter, South Carolina. He is known for his folded nib work, bright and impactful illustrations, and clean design, and in 2018 had one of his pieces of art featured on a Retro 51 in collaboration with Brad Dowdy of The Pen Addict called Pink Robots. Welcome, Matthew.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Excited.
How's it going?
It's great. I've never been on a podcast before.
Woo!
There's a first time for everything.
There is.
How was your flight?
It was rough, actually. So they were late, and so they boarded the plane at like 10 flat and then pushed back from the gate. And they literally said it was a really turbulent flight, but they said like during the flight, hey guys, as soon as we get there, like help us get off the plane just, you know, as quickly as possible because we got to get these next folks to their destination. And they were like shoving people like
deplane
off the plane
immediately.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was rough. Like people were like scurrying.
But it wasn't United though, was it?
No, it was Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they didn't drag you off.
Right. Nope.
Good.
Nope.
Good.
And I didn't sit and vomit. So.
Oh my God. That's good. So there's this question that John and I want to ask all of our new guests, and what is your radioactive spider bite in Depends?
So that's a little bit of a hard question. It's so I remember as a kid, my dad was an engineer and he worked for the government. And so he'd bring home these pens and pencils that said U.S. government on them. And I thought they were cool because they said U.S. government, right?
Were they like the black clicky ones?
They were the black clicky ones.
I
and
love
then
those.
The mechanical pencils that he used for the like the thick lead,
yeah,
like clear kind of grayish looking ones. But the first time I remember actually spending like real money on pens, my mom sent me into like a drugstore, and she was like, you know, you pick up this item, and then I told her I needed pens for school, and so she handed me like a $20 bill, and I come back out and I give her like $2 change, and she's like, what did you buy? And I
what did you buy?
It was a pack of Uniball gel pens, and I think they were like $11 at the drugstore.
Yeah,
and
it's like a lot of money on a pen.
Yeah. And I thought my mom was going to kill me. It was like 6 pens or something. Yeah. It was like
how
a multicolor pack. I was probably about maybe 8,
nice.
8 or 9. Yeah, I was in about the 4th grade, maybe 5th grade. Yeah. So whatever age you are at that time.
That seems
like that's a lot. That's like buying a Nakaya when you're that age, because it's just a huge luxury to have a nice pen.
Right. It really is. And yeah, and so from then on, I was like, wow, these are way better than these like big crystal sticks that I've been writing with. So,
were those blue disposable erasable pens? The permanent ones with the
garbage
eraser on the back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
I think those are Papermate. Yeah,
Papermate. Yeah.
Yep.
Those can burn in hell.
Yep.
I love those though. The black
I
ones?
Used them. I used them, but now knowing what I know, it's like
garbage. No. I would
garbage. Like the alternative to those now is the friction pens. But then those, like if you leave your notebook in your car,
it
all your
away.
Notes fade away. Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to a guy online the other day, and he had set his hot coffee mug on his notebook, and there was just a circle missing of like
That's
half
hilarious.
The pages.
I've heard if you stick them in a refrigerator,
freezer,
they come
it comes
back.
Yeah.
On the what?
On the friction pens.
I've never used one.
Yeah. I think they seem like garbage, but maybe they're not.
You know, we could just write with a fountain pen.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And just skip all this
I mean,
crap.
If you need to erase, you could just write with a pencil.
So what was your first fountain pen?
There's erasable blue, too.
Yeah. What?
Have you guys tried those before?
No.
The erasable fountain pens?
No.
No.
Oh.
Have you?
Yeah. It's really cool. So like Lamy Blue is an erasable blue ink.
What?
And they sell these erasers in Germany, and they don't ship them to us because they think, you know, Americans won't use it. Pelican sells them, and Lamy does. I think Pilot probably has them, too. And you can erase fountain pen, like washable blue ink.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I kind of
learn something new every day. I know.
We'll have to get some.
That's awesome. We get some for us?
Get some and report back on the podcast.
Yeah.
I think that sounds cool. So, anyway, what was your first fountain pen?
It was a Lamy Vista. I got a job as an art director right out of college, and there was a little art store just a couple doors down. And I went in one day and saw the Lamy display. And so that was in 2006 or 7, I guess.
You're going to tell people how old you are this way.
Yeah, I'm old. Been around the sun a bunch of times. I bought this. The first thing I thought was, wow, they've got these really cool, like, old school pens. I had no idea about fountain pens, so I bought that one. And
that's a good starter point.
Yeah, carried it for a long time until I was riding my bike one day and I had it clipped to my jeans and the cap came off.
Yeah, that happened to me. So, I had Lamy Blue in my shorts one day.
Ruined a pair of diesel jeans with whatever black ink was in that pen at the time. So,
whoops. I know exactly. Yeah, was that in 2007?
It might have been. Yeah, it was about
diesel jeans.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 2007.
You dated yourself, brother.
Yeah.
Wait, did they have, like, were they bejeweled on the butt?
No.
Okay.
No.
How many tears were in them?
None. They had the whiskers, where your hips are,
Like your knee, the back of your knees. 2007, baby.
Hey, I have a hole in my jeans right now.
Oh, yeah. Whiskers.
What? It was a wear hole, not a hole.
Laughing about how that seems forever ago.
Oh, 2007? Yeah.
I did have a pair of True Religions with the back pocket flap.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
Scalloped flap or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Yep. I still think I have them because I couldn't bear to give them away because they had been so expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did not explode a fountain pen in my jeans.
No.
On my jeans.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, so the first question I really want to talk about is pink robots. This is a piece of art that existed before Brad wanted to make the pen, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Can you talk about what inspired you to illustrate it and then, like, how it was to make that into a pen and how that whole thing went?
Yeah. What is a pink robot?
Yeah, like, explain this whole thing to us.
So, the pink robots, Yoshimi and the Pink Robots, was a song by the Flaming Lips. And I was a huge Flaming Lips. I mean, I still am. Big fan of theirs. And, you know, I was a fan of theirs in high school. And listen to that song, and I mean, I guess, you know, so the song, if people listening have never heard it,
we'll link it below.
Yeah, it's a cool song about Yoshimi taking on, and Yoshimi is this, you know, like, little girl that takes on these pink robots. And so, not to get, like, too, like, mushy or emotional or whatever, but I don't know, I connected with that song in high school because I felt like we all had our own pink robots. Like, we're all Yoshimi, right? And so I've just always loved that song. I think it's a really cool song to, I don't know, kind of give you this, like, idea that you can overcome anything. And so I did this illustration, and Brad loved it. I mean, Brad fell in love with it immediately. I did a really short run, like 10 pieces, prints of it, and they sold out immediately. And Brad got with me and was like, hey, I want to do a retro 51 with you. And so I kind of gave him some ideas, and he's like, no, I want to do pink robots.
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
That's cool.
And I didn't think it would sell.
Really?
I was like, dude, okay, if you want. And I think it took like 8 days.
Yeah, I missed
it. Did 500, and we're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ended up being able to get one.
Yeah.
But I missed it initially.
I saw one on eBay a couple months ago for $199.
Damn.
What?
Yeah.
It's always the stuff you don't think will sell. It does well.
You're
like,
no
one's gonna buy it. No one's gonna buy this.
Right.
It's like the most popular shit.
Do you like the Flaming Lips, John?
I don't really know their work at all.
Oh, we're gonna play him.
I just somehow skipped over what decade were they?
All the decades. They're still going.
80s, 90s. Now they're still putting stuff out. They released a really cool special vinyl for Record Store Day.
I don't know why. There's just a lot of bands that have completely skipped my.
The lead singer is Wayne Coyne, and he's a visual artist as well, not just a musician. So he does these really crazy kind of sculptures and interactive pieces, and kind of a cool takeaway from the whole Pink Robots thing. Other than having my artwork on a limited edition pen that, you know, 500 people own, is Wayne Coyne from the Flaming Lips got a pen. So someone contacted us that knew him and asked us to send him one. So we sent Wayne a pen via his friend, and I get this text message one night, like super late, of Wayne Coyne like holding the pen.
That's fucking cool.
And that's so rad.
He called me on the phone to like talk to me about how cool it was and how moved he was that I did it. And then we still text. Like, he sent me pictures of his baby when his baby was born.
That's so
cool, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been
cool.
He's a neat guy.
That's amazing.
He always texts me at odd hours, though.
Musician things.
Yeah, so he'll text me at like 4 in the morning, and it'll just be like him and his wife, like in a dressing room or something, doing something weird.
What?
I think I'm Wayne Coyne's drunk dial.
Rockstar things.
Are you his drunk dial?
I might be.
Hey, there's that's a good drunk dial to have.
That's the raddest thing. Yeah, because you got that Record Store Day vinyl, which was really cool. They do that, I think, every year. They're, like, really big about interesting releases. I got that Flaming Lips beer. You had it with me.
Oh, yeah.
And they released a song to go with the beer that they did as a collaboration with Dogfish Head.
That is just hashtag branding all over it.
They're fantastic.
That's great. That's awesome, though.
He does some, like, really cool kind of video projects and stuff. I mean, it's, like, it's out there. It's weird stuff, but it's all, like,
there's so much good music that is just completely, I've just completely missed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had my, all the shit I listened to in junior high and high school, and then you kind of lock in. You're like, okay, whatever I listen to right now, I'm not going to change or expand too much outside those a couple circles.
Yeah.
And then later in life, you're like, shit, why did I miss all this stuff? How did I miss all this great shit over here?
Yeah. So, okay, back to Pink Robots. What was the original medium for that piece?
So I drew it in a just on a sheet of Tomoe River paper using I don't know, a fountain pen of some sort, probably with Noodler's Black, and then I colored with Chart Pack markers. John's dying.
Why are you dying?
Because I'm using Noodler's Black.
At least it's still there. I mean, that's at least good.
I mean,
how many pairs of clothes have you ruined from because
was that what spilled out of the safari?
It probably was, because that art store actually sold Noodler's ink. So
but those
I'm pretty
diesel
sure
jeans are no more, which is a victory. It's
not
a victory for that's a victory for everyone.
No.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably the best thing that happened to me.
But like seriously, I think I've ruined at least one white coat from Noodler's Black. Like, have you ruined clothes from Noodler's Black?
I've never actually inked it up yet.
Like, people shit on Noodler's, but Noodler's Black
is permanent as
is
hell.
Noodler's Black, Heart of Darkness, and Dark Matter are all phenomenal.
Heart of Darkness is super popular. I need to actually try that one, because that's the bigger bottle. And
Heart of
Darkness. I had Noodler's Black, and I left it in my colleague's office.
You were scared of it?
Yeah.
You intimidated by the Noodler's
it's such
Black?
It's such a great starter point. Everyone starts with, like, the Lamy Vista or Safari.
Right.
And Noodler's ink, and they're like, that's like the, hey, I'm new to fountain pen starter pack.
It's great. It's not wrong.
It's not wrong, no. And then you start off and go, okay, there's things other than black ink out there.
Well, I love knowing that Pink Robots was drawn with, like, a Noodler's Black. I love that.
That's super rad.
So my second fountain pen, I know you guys didn't ask this, and this is like a super confession time.
Oh, gosh.
It's okay.
So my second fountain pen.
What?
Thank you, Father.
Confess.
Was a Lamy Accent, which is a terrible pen.
Oh, I don't even know what it is. What does it look like? Pull it up.
It's like a metal pen with, and they have different grip sections, like a wood, wood grip.
It's not.
It uses
terrible.
The same nib. It is terrible.
No, they're not. I mean, what it is the.
Oh.
I want a nice, quote unquote, nice pen to give someone as a graduation present.
Right. Exactly.
It's like any other pen you buy at a.
So I didn't know that much about fountain pens. I just had the Safari or the Vista with the Noodler's Black. And so I got this, and I was at a Michael's or an AC Moore, and I bought this bottle of fountain pen ink. It said on the bottle, like, for fountain pens, right?
Oh,
and it
God,
was India ink.
No!
And so, like, I ink up this, $70.
Oh, shoot.
$70 Lamy Accent, which was the most money I'd ever spent on any kind of office supply at that point, like, other than maybe a computer.
Oh,
and it
God.
Wrote great for like 2 days.
Oh no.
And then it just, like, started just kind of writing real dry, like, seizing up, and I was like, this is terrible, this pen's garbage. And, you know, I kind of, like, chalked it up to the pen.
Yeah. I always wonder how many people, I mean, as the business side of me goes, how many people started off with, they want a fountain pen, they buy one, they buy a second one, they buy a third, maybe. And then they just give up, because that happens.
Right, yeah.
Or they're like, it dried out, it's out of my drawer.
And at Michael's, they put that India ink right next to the, like, Speedball calligraphy pen, which is a fountain pen.
Yeah, and on the bottle it says for fountain pens.
Which
so
is a lie.
It's completely
which is,
wrong.
Well, it's a damn lie.
Yeah. You could.
It's like, yeah. I guess you can use it. I guess you can if you just flush it out, right?
So you can put anything you want in a fountain pen.
Don't put India ink in your fountain.
It didn't say it's going to fucking work, but you can put jet fuel in a fountain pen.
Jesus Christ, don't do that.
Yeah,
that's the name of our new ink.
I also bleached a VAC 700 one time.
You what?
Well,
I had a VAC 700 that I put some, like, Noodler's Antietam or something in, and it stained the shit out of it. Like, this clear VAC 700. couldn't get the stain out, so I decided to try to bleach it clean.
Oh,
and
no.
It like ate through all the parts of the pen.
God.
Yeah. I was like, I think that was my third or fourth fountain pen.
Wow. Wow.
But then, so many people get to that point and then they're like, fuck it, give up.
Yeah. Right.
And because it was like just not easy to use.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
They didn't know what to do.
Yeah. I think it's better now because there's just such a repository of information on the internet with YouTube and videos and Fountain Pen 101 videos and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like the Fountain Pen Network is, you know, an amazing forum full of just like an immense amount of information about fountain pens. I mean, like shit you didn't even want to know about fountain pens.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, you know.
So you had do you have any of those pens still left?
I don't. The Vista went away when I lost the cap because the store wouldn't sell me a replacement cap. So it's gone. And the Accent went in the garbage because I was so frustrated with it. I thought it was just a pen. And then the 700, I mean, it was just all eaten up with bleach. So that one's gone too.
So what do you have right now? I mean, how many fountain pens are in your rotation? I see a case of pens here.
Those are not all of his pens.
Rotation is kind of, you know, I kind of rotate pens in and out. So, you know, I always grab one. You know, I'd say I probably have maybe 25 pens right now that are sort of my, you know.
Okay. That's pretty serious.
Like, yeah, 20 to 25.
But
yeah.
They're not just any pens. They're like...
So early on, early on, I was just buying as many pens as I could get. You know, it's like, oh, this new pen came out, it's $10, I'll snap that up. This new, you know, I was just going crazy collecting, and I had hundreds of pens at one time. I mean, there was a guy on Fountain Pen Network one time selling a collection of Lamy Safaris, just a boatload, like 30 of them, and all these different limited editions. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, why not? Why not have 30 edition Lamy? So now I've sort of focused on things that are maybe... a little bit unique, limited edition stuff, you know, stuff from small makers, kind of what I like to focus on.
What's your, like, most recent acquisition of something kind of cool and rad?
I've got this Kasama pen, which is from the Philippines, and I heard about it from Lay Pod, and she, you know, is kind of like their brand ambassador. They just make these like really rad pens. Whoa. They're sort of odd.
That's really cool. It's got some serious fucking weight to it.
Yeah, so I got
the center too.
Frosted acrylic with a titanium grip section.
It's just
a cool pen.
Why are the Philippines like suddenly exploding as making everything?
I don't think they're suddenly exploding. I think we're just knowing about it now.
Yeah. Where are the Philippines again?
You know, I'm joking.
I'm being the American. Is that somewhere in Asia?
Probably.
It is somewhere in Asia.
Probably.
No, it's in the ocean kind of by Japan.
Far off places.
I know they're big on manufacturing. I just didn't realize the fountain pen stuff. Like,
it's great. Like, so that's probably my newest.
No, this one.
It's really, really favorite. Cool. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. So I did get a Fagionato pen recently from Papier Plume down in New Orleans. So the guy that does the Fagionato pens actually... lost a battle with a brain tumor earlier this year, and the pens that were made are it. Like, they're done. And what's cool about his pens is he was making this French kind of celluloid or cellulose. And so a really cool material. He's doing these cool pens that are sort of vintage inspired. They've got sort of a vintage kind of feel to them in terms of just kind of size and colorways. And it was cool to be able to snap one up because I thought they were all gone. And then Papier Plume posted a few on their website. And so I was able to get one.
The nib is completely plain on this pen. There's like literally
nothing. It's a Bach nib, but it has zero. Yeah. It has no branding, no markings.
Wow.
Just the cap.
Yeah. It's really, really rad.
It's a neat pen.
But it looks kind of vintage with it being so plain.
It does,
like, I'm just kind of tired of having all the ornate stuff on nibs. It's kind of nice to see it because it looks super old.
Yep, it does. It's got a really fun vintage feel all the way throughout the pen, which I think is really cool. And the clip is something that I really love.
I like that
it's
design. Just a real simple, it's on a base. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's something that's really neat about your collection. So you haven't seen it yet. You'll see it tonight at the Pen Club meetup. But I was maybe nosing through his pens earlier and... it's all sorts of really unique pieces, you know.
So you said you have a lot of sailors too.
I do.
What's the range here? What's like your go-to sailor?
So probably my current favorite is it's just a clear Pro Gear demonstrator. It's the Pro Gear demonstrator with a medium nib. Sailor, I mean, you know, this is probably gonna like, what is, I don't know. Like, what is this, a hot take? I mean, I'm just going to say, like, I think Sailor's the greatest fountain pen on the market. Like, their nibs are just...
I don't think that's a hot take.
Hands down.
I don't think a lot of people are going to fight you with...
Like, hands down, I think their nibs are the best out of the box.
So you like a harder nib than...
Yeah. Because okay. I actually write, and everybody's going to cringe. So get your cringe faces ready. I write with, like, a lot more pressure than you probably should with a fountain pen.
Okay.
I tend to press down. So I rarely buy pens with gold nibs.
John's, like, dying inside.
So you're not going to write with any of my fucking pens tonight?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
I let him write with my Nikaya. Like, it's fine.
I mean, I can write with no pressure.
I'm giving you shit.
But, like...
his initial instinct is, like...
Oh, my God.
And I heard my nib go... I was like, oh, it doesn't like that.
When I...
It's softer than I thought it was.
I looked at my first Lamy.
Yeah, it's too soft.
You're pressing down too hard.
We should do like a ding every time someone says that's what she said, because feel like it's going to be a lot.
Take a shot every time someone says it.
No shots.
I don't want to throw up before the pen club.
No, the listener.
Oh, take a shot every time someone says
drunk,
that's what
listener,
she said.
Not us. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm drinking espresso.
You know, there's people listening through these little things in front of us. It's not just us in here.
Oh, people are hearing our words?
More than just my mom and your mom and a couple people.
That's rad.
My mom texted me, by the way.
Hey, Mom.
She listened to the episode. She goes, thanks for throwing me under the bus. I'm like, oh, yeah, episode one. We totally did.
We did? Yeah. Mama feeling? Oh, no.
And your mom.
Love you, Mama
feeling. We were talking about things. So.
Oh, gosh.
So.
I'm so smart. He's a smart man. It's a smart man. What?
Do you,
What?
We've hit that point in the podcast.
God damn it.
It's really kicking in.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Just put them in your lap. I don't know. You could put them on top of your head.
Hands up!
Hold on, wait. We'll Instagram this for later. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah,
I don't. What do you do with your hands on a podcast?
Oh my God.
You do this. What you can't see is I'm holding my phone
and my coffee in the other.
I'm going to
headphone cable.
Gesture.
Do you want to hold something? Like, do you want a notebook? Will you feel better?
You have a bunch of pens over there. There you go. Just play with the pens.
Here's a notebook. Will that make you feel better? Okay.
So your favorite sailor is the Pro Gear.
It's Pro Gear. Yeah, the full-size Pro Gear.
Full-size Pro Gear. Do you have a King of Pen?
I don't yet.
Okay. Have you tried one?
I have.
Okay.
Briefly, I've handled one.
Okay. Do you like the larger pens, like MA-100s and 1000s?
Yeah, I do.
I
do. And actually, I think a King of Pen's probably not far off for me. I need to get one at some point.
Well, we're just going to be doing a group buy, I think.
Oh, yes. John is just insinuating he's going to be carrying Sailor soon.
I really hope so. And then, we'll
then
be
we're all three going to have King of Pens.
And like five of our friends are just going to buy King of Pens. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We all will have
Hello,
King
Visa.
Pens.
Can you increase my limit, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, that Kasama pen is pretty large.
Yeah, it's a big one. He's girthy.
Yeah.
It's so girthy.
And it's all at the end, too. It's all at the base.
Take a shot.
Don't yell in the microphone,
Sorry.
Cat.
You can turn that down. It's fine.
Actually, it didn't do anything. It's great. So I have a question. I have a question for Hey Matthew. Hey Matthew, what is a folded nib? Because I don't fucking know anything about folded nibs.
So there are these really cool calligraphy tools. Actually, my first sort of experience with a folded nib was I saw this YouTube video where you could make one out of a Coke can, which is absolute bullshit. Because
I wondered if that was a
thing. Well, the Coke cans are so flimsy now. Like, they're thinner than they used to be. Okay. And so, like...
Back in my day!
Yeah.
Where I was! Please answer this entire question in an old man voice.
I'm not going to do that.
A southern old man voice.
Well, I'll be.
How much time you got, sonny?
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, they're made out of, brass and steel and whatnot. And actually, Kat turned me on to the Inkpot Files, which makes the best folded nibs, like, out there. I mean, his stuff's super unique. And so it's a dip pen, and, you know, it holds a ton of ink, and you get this crazy amount of line variation. But because it's literally a brass or stainless sheet, you know, very thin, it's folded in half. So you kind of get this vibration depending on which paper you're using. So you get all this kind of crazy ink splatter.
Oh, and I didn't really think about that. So it's the vibration that gives it the
variation. Yeah, I mean, you can slow down a little bit and you don't get that. So, you can really kind of...
I've seen Kat write and she looks like she's writing manically.
Yeah, it's, you sort of, it's kind of hard to describe, but yeah. And so I found some YouTube videos of people doing it, and I was like, yeah, I could probably do that.
How long have you been doing it?
A few years, maybe like four or five years, yeah.
That's quite a while in our world and practicing a craft, yeah.
Right, yeah, so when I first started buying them, I was buying them from this online retailer that just sold these, brass ones that
basic.
Were very... machine made. And so when I first started, I would order them, 10 or 15 at a time.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm terrible about cleaning them properly. And so the brass would corrode.
Oh.
And so then I would like toss them after a while. So I'd use them for a while. Mm-hmm. And then once they couldn't really be cleaned or whatever, I would just toss them. And so I went to order from them one time and they were like, yeah, all of a sudden folded nibs are really popular and we can only sell you 5 at a time. But we have a waiting list for 5. And it's like, 2 months.
Oh.
And so I've had to like source them from other places. And so thankfully the Inkpot Files is, so thanks, Kat.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
The Inkpot Files is a gentleman from Canada.
Oh, Canada.
And he is so rad. Like,
he's real cool.
Found him happenstance through Etsy, actually, and was like, I'm super excited. I bought one of his folded nibs. They're very affordable, especially when you look at, like, ruling pens, which are basically the same idea. If you buy a ruling pen, it can be anywhere from, like, $50 to $90.
Yeah, and I've got some pretty high-end ruling pens that were, $40, $50, $60 a piece. Mm-hmm. So
Do you use those Dreaming Dog ones?
They're made by Dreaming Dogs, and they're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They're so well made.
What
and
are
just,
these?
They're ruling
pens. It's very similar. We'll put pictures of all this stuff in the show
so
notes.
So the ruling pens are basically two slats of metal, for lack of a better word, and then they have an adjustment knob, so you can make them... closer together or further apart, depending on your medium. So if you're using something a little bit thicker, like a gouache, you would want a little bit more.
What?
Gouache?
Squash? Squash?
No, gouache. It's a kind of watercolor
gouache.
That's more opaque.
But anyway, whatever.
Is it squash in color?
It hits my ears because it's southern, and I forget that people may say things differently.
Dip it in the gouache.
So you use ruling pens and folded nibs, but they give you the same effect.
Similar, yeah. Pretty close.
Pretty much.
I really like Faust's, the Inkpot Faust. I like his nibs. It's really interesting, too, because his nibs are all handmade.
Mm-hmm.
And for the price he charges, he needs to be charging like double what he's charging. But they're handmade, and not only are they handmade, but they're all individually tested. And he actually sends you a piece written with your nib.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sends these like really sweet notes, because like every time I've gotten one, it's been like, "Thanks, Matthew. I hope you love your nib as much as I loved making it. This was written with your nib. It's been perfectly tuned just for you. Have a great day."
Yeah.
Damn.
And like
that's
he'll
a
just
lot.
Like,
that's a lot. Yeah.
And
yeah.
he sent me like a beautiful like he wrote with my nib and wrote my name in like this beautiful
that's
script.
That's why the fucking turnaround's so bad. He needs to like start automating
right.
this
no,
thing.
No, his turnaround is like it he
I
sends it
one.
You the next day.
Oh, really?
He did
wow.
like a 50%
wow.
off sale on his Instagram,
which was insane.
I mean,
so
I think I think I paid
Inkpot,
like
Pot Files, just raise your prices.
yeah,
if you're selling that many, you need to do something different, buddy.
But I ordered one and I had it from Canada in 10 days.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's fast.
What's
fine.
What did you pay for shipping?
Not a lot of dollars.
A few dollars.
I think
with the sale price, it was like $21 shipped.
Yeah, it was
for a
so
handmade
insane.
Folded nib, and
then you just have to put it in a straight.
Yeah, just a holder. And my current go to holders for anybody that wants to get into this are from Osprey Pens, and they make these really cool ebonite holders, and they charge like $8 for them.
Osprey.
Yep.
I'm putting all of these links below, and if you go to the leakynib.com, we will have all of these links for you.
Plug.
Hashtag self promotion.
Yeah.
I mean, this is our podcast. So.
How dare you promote yourselves on your own podcast?
How dare you, sir?
And so,
animals.
For those of you who are artistes, gouache is spelled G O A C H E. And John spelled it in the show notes, G-U-A-S-H.
Yeah, because it sounds like that.
I love it. Wash. It's fantastic.
I spell it phonetically.
Phonetically.
Can you say phonetically in an old man southern accent, please?
Like, not
on request.
Phonetically.
Phonetically.
Hooked on phonics.
Hooked on phonics.
Oh, my goodness.
We should do like a children's book for like folded nib or like letter writing, but like fill in the blank. There's our evidence. It's on the podcast. So if anyone does it, we have it in copyright.
I might take a video of Matthew at the pen club tonight doing folded nib stuff for people to see.
Yeah.
It's a real treat.
It's a real treat.
I've never tried it.
And it has a scratchy, scratchy sound. Oh, it's
yeah. Yeah, I was waiting for you. I'm saving myself.
Oh.
Okay. It's for you to show me how to do it.
I love it.
Show me how to fold my nib.
I've actually thought about trying to do some ASMR videos of folded nib because I feel like people would.
Is that the overhead thing?
Yeah, like where ASMR, and it's just like the super. So it's a sound.
We did that crap. Yeah, I'm gonna cut all this. Oh my god!
Why are you licking the microphone?
It's ASMR.
That's weird.
No, but do you do like the overhead shots where people can watch you do it?
I've done it for people. I don't have any like on YouTube or anything. I should probably do that.
Bro,
I should.
Yeah. I'll just stand over top.
If you've been doing folded nib work for 5 years,
straight down, and you can. Write.
I think you're ready for YouTube.
I
think you'll be okay.
I mean, I have a channel.
What's your plug?
I don't actually know the link to my YouTube channel.
Hold on, I'll find
it. If you search "Hey Matthew YouTube,"
Matthew's YouTube is Matthew Morse, M-O-R-S-E. We will also link it in the show notes.
There it is.
Like Morse code. No relation to Samuel Morse that I can find.
Do you know how to do Morse code?
I don't, because it's antiquated.
Did you guys see the post in our little group chat about people sending orders to Lemur headquarters in Morse code?
Oh, I saw that. John's going to set up a ham radio so people can send in their
Morse code their orders to Lemur. Because we on certain brands, we only accept orders via Morse code now. So,
dear Mr. Lemur, stop.
Yes.
I'd like to order
10 bottles of Lemur
10
Lime.
10 bottles
stop.
Of Lemur Lime. Yes, stop.
Yeah. We only accept orders via Morse code. So, unfortunately. Right. And it's a one bottle limit, so you have to do a Morse code enter for each time. And you can do as many entries as you want, but you have to do a Morse code entry for each order.
I like it.
Separately.
With your credit card number.
And then we'll fax you the credit card info over.
Okay.
I think it's fantastic.
Why don't you just put it on the back of a dinosaur and ship it over?
I thought about that. Too much logistics. We want to be a bit modern, but not too modern.
Right. Okay. I get it.
I think it's great. So speaking of other interesting hobbies that you have that are like fountain pen adjacent, we've heard that you also do anodizing and noticed that it appears you have anodized your Kasama pen. What made you learn to be an anodizer? Like what's some of the coolest things you've anodized? What's some of the weirdest things you've anodized? Like
what is anodizing for some listeners?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you start with telling us what that is?
Yeah, so... I saw it on YouTube. I'm a sucker for anything titanium. Mm. And so I was researching something titanium, and I saw that you could do it at home. And I mean, anodizing titanium can be done with, you know, some wire and 9-volt batteries. That's not what I use. I actually use a variable, it's a variable voltage power supply. Titanium reacts to electricity in water, and it changes colors depending on the voltage. So there's sort of the layman's unscientific explanation is that it just changes the very top layer of the titanium just very slightly, so it looks like it's a different color. There's a bunch of science behind it that you can read about online if you feel like nerding out. But, you know, depending on the voltage, you know, you get different colors.
So you did this.
I did the anodization on my Kasama.
I have done a titanium nib
for Mark Backus nib grinder. And what's cool is titanium will if you put like fingernail polish on it, and then anodize it, and then take the fingernail polish off, everywhere the fingernail polish was, you get no anodization. So you can do like cool like two color things. And I've played with paintbrushes and sponges and splatter effects and done some really cool stuff with it. So it's a lot of fun. Is it leaking?
No, John got pink on him. I don't know how he did.
What is the leaky nib?
That's good.
That's good.
So what's some of your like most interesting things you've anodized?
I did a super limited edition knife for a guy in South Carolina, actually. He sent me some parts of his knife that were titanium and did those. And then I did a pair of chopsticks for Jonathan Brooks.
What?
Titanium chopsticks.
Because he loves sushi, right?
Okay, all right.
And they're absurdly, comically large chopsticks.
We need to stop and talk about chopsticks. Because so we met at the Atlanta show.
Yeah.
And we went out for sushi.
More than one time.
And
three times.
I'm sorry, Mark, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Mark Bacchus brought his own chopsticks.
Why is that throwing him under the bus? That's normal, I feel like.
I should make a set for Mark.
Yeah. So what... We want to start over?
No, it's okay.
Just
okay. If you're listening, Mark, you didn't hear that.
Yeah. Okay.
Merry Christmas.
He brought his own chopsticks. I'm like, what are those? I didn't know what it was. I thought it was like some medical thing he has to carry around with him. And then he breaks up his chopsticks.
Yeah, they're in like a plastic case.
Yeah, I was like, damn, homie. But then you make fun until they hand you the wooden ones. And you're like, I wish
garbage.
I would have brought my own.
Yeah, you make fun of them until you get splinters in the like corner of your mouth.
So right. True story,
you end up like
though,
the Joker.
I have been to China. My best friend in college is from China, and like she hates the metal ones and I hate the metal ones because they don't actually grip that well. The wooden ones are actually the best.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying like the ones they give you at a sushi restaurant are good because they're garbage, but like a good wooden chopstick is like far and away better.
So at Atlanta, getting chopsticks, two of my favorite customers, the Saavedras, came by my table and were like, hey, have some Pilot 100th anniversary chopsticks.
Are they wood?
On us. Yeah.
Yes,
they came in like a little bamboo case. They're fucking cool.
That's so cool.
And I'm like, man, I couldn't even get these from Pilot. And they had them somehow. And they're like, here, you can have these. I'm like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
I'm too scared to bring them with me to a sushi restaurant.
Why? You should.
I'm going to be that guy.
And you'll have to be super
like
careful
Mark.
With the wood. Like, you know, you want to make sure.
But actually, no, I don't care now. But like, fuck it. I'll just bring them with me.
Yeah, you
just
want
to make sure that you hand wash them in like not hot water because you don't want them to warp.
Yeah,
and but they don't say put like, them in the dishwasher.
So you don't have to worry about that if they're made out of titanium.
Right, but then they don't grip
anything.
You could
literally launch them into space.
Do they like?
And they would be fine.
Oh my God, space it! But does do the do
space sticks?
Space sticks. Eat your sushi in space.
What?
Done.
Out of this world.
We've just created a new product.
I'm just gonna walk away from you two right now.
The other option, though, so for the wood option.
Yes.
I'm going to talk to Jonathan about this, and then he's going to be an SF, right? I'm sure.
I actually did. We've lost Matthew.
He's dying.
Are you okay?
Okay, back to wooden chopsticks, though.
You're still thinking about sushi is out of this world, aren't you?
Out of this world. Space sticks. No, I'd be the best sushi restaurant. It's like a space-themed sushi joint.
Yeah.
What? Sushi is out of this world. That's cute. You should do
out
that as
world,
your next business.
Out of this world sushi. I will, yeah. Yep.
That's your next
there,
business
there
plan.
There we go.
Cosmic Sushi would be the name of it. And then
done!
The tagline
it's
was
done!
Like,
sushi
out
is out of this world.
Yes.
and call the chopsticks space sticks.
And you have to bring your own chopsticks. We don't allow anyone in unless they can prove they have their own chopsticks. So
no,
only...
that won't work.
I didn't say this would be a profitable business, Kat. I said this would be business.
I think you get those cheapy free chopsticks, but you rebrand the packaging so they say space sticks.
So, just give everyone titanium ones.
Yeah, everyone gets titanium.
In the door.
No, you could sell anodized titanium ones at the gift shop.
And also in the gift shop, we'll have custom Arushi. By Jonathan Brooks.
You can't.
Little like bowls, little dishes.
Could you imagine if you used, couldn't you get like a.
Arushi?
If you used Arushi
you could,
chopsticks,
oh yeah,
couldn't
because
you break
Arushi
out from
is
it?
Is basically poison ivy.
Why couldn't you Arushi chopsticks?
Because
you
then
can,
you'd get, like,
but people
break
that
out
are allergic to, like Mark Bacchus can't.
Handle Arushi.
When he does grinds on my Arushi pens, his hands get all red and weird.
Really?
Yeah, because he's super
allergic. Yeah, Jacqueline had an
allergic
reaction to her Arushi.
But not all of them.
No, they're all
just
the same.
No, all urushi is made out of a plant that is like poison ivy's cousin.
That's what I thought, but I thought after it like cured,
no. Poison it's ivy's gone. Japanese cousin.
I want to think of something funny and I can't.
No, I don't have anything. Yeah. But it's just funny that it stays on, like it still stays as poison
yeah,
ivy.
Yeah, because it's so
there.
So it's a the color from you know from it comes from the it's a powder, you know. So the urushi is like it comes in these powders, and then I think you know Jonathan mixes it with some sort of lacquer and then applies it. So
it's
basically
there.
Like a ground up plant. So even like you think about like if you were to seal something in acrylic, you know, and then sort of like sand the top layer of that acrylic yeah. down, then that whatever's inside of there has become exposed.
Hmm.
So yeah,
interesting. But well, okay, so we could do like makie chopsticks, like
no,
a, like
that's
a, like
still
rotten.
Uses urushi.
We just lacquer it.
Let's just stick with titanium.
We just rattle can it.
Right, yeah.
What
yeah.
does that mean?
Plasti dip.
No, yeah, just.
What are you two talking about?
You know, spray paint. To
oh,
spray paint it.
Rattle can.
Yeah. Rattle can.
Yeah. Plasti dip is a big
but
thing
sorry,
in
but,
South Carolina.
But for the, what was the name, Cosmic Sushi?
Cosmic Sushi.
Cosmic Sushi will have custom titanium, because you have to prepay to get in, of course. Because we're not allowing commoners off the street to come
this
in
is
here.
A terrible idea.
This is going to lose so much money.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd like to be a future investor in Cosmic Sushi, please call 1-800. Throw away money now.
Well, this is actually a great segue, though, into the next question I wanted to talk about. Because Matthew can make even garbage ideas like Cosmic Sushi sound awesome. So my point is, like, you're a designer, and you do a lot of brand design for companies and individuals in the city of Sumter. Yeah, I mean, you did our branding, so, like, thank you.
Yeah, our logo, by the way, is...
All of our cool neon stuff is courtesy of Hey Matthew.
Yeah.
Thanks for
the opportunity. It's fun.
It's so rad.
It's always fun
can
to
we
do
talk,
stuff
can
like
we
this.
Talk about that logo real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Our Leaky Nib logo. Because we initially wanted to do a bar sign, like ye olde... pint room bar sign.
And then we realized we weren't really ye olde type.
No. It sounded kind of fun, like, oh, it'd be like a pub. They're like, it's going to look really shit.
So we still wanted it to look like a bar sign, but like an 80s bar sign.
So we thought 80s bar sign neon, and it took about 3 seconds to go, we got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Reached out to Hey Matthew,
and the first draft was it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't really. Yeah. I think I tweaked it a little bit because I wasn't super happy with the first draft. But you guys would have run with the first draft.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
If I hadn't stepped in.
But you know,
stopped you.
But the. Why? How bad
saved
was it?
Saved
how
you from yourselves.
It?
I don't
wasn't.
Remember, I don't
it
know.
Was literally
the.
It the looks
same
like
thing,
the exact
just
same.
A little, minor variations.
It's been tweaked.
Okay, but so Matthew is like well known for doing a lot of graphic design and brand identity for many people within the fountain pen community, but also. Apart from that, like, what's something that's really interesting you've worked on?
I design book covers.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, that's all, you know, it's funny. You tell people, like, oh, I'm a graphic designer. I'm like, oh, neat, cool. He does logos or whatever.
My cousin's a graphic designer.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I got Photoshop.
Yep.
But book covers always tend to get people sort of like, oh, okay, book covers. Interesting. So I've done a ton. Over 2,000 book covers.
Damn.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So,
and, what kind of books?
I mean, all everything from business to fiction to
like
short
the
stories,
soft,
poetry, self-help.
Like the soft core porn that you buy at Mike Meyer.
What?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, like 50 Shades?
No. Not that good. But like the stuff that's on the discount shelf at
Oh, yeah, these don't even make it to the discount shelf. Most of the authors are self-published. And I don't know if they actually sell books.
Okay. But you know, do you know what I'm talking about? Those like books you see
yes,
at the grocery?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Where it's like a guy with his shirt off and he's riding a
body
unicorn.
I will say, though, like, you know, they maybe don't sell a ton of
hair.
Copies, but their covers are rad.
Yeah, the covers are super rad. That's why I'm like, maybe he did those.
I do a good bit for...
the city of Sumter?
Well, not books.
Oh.
But... for business folks that are using their books to accompany, you know, a TED Talk or something like that.
Oh, cool, cool.
And so those guys sell a ton of books because everybody that listens to their talk wants to go to the back and buy a book when they're done.
Schwag.
Yeah, schwag. They're basically, it's a 200-page business card.
I need to get one of those. a pen shows. You yeah. want some ink? Would you like to buy my book? Yeah. Fountain pens and you. You can fountain pen.
You or, can.
No, I fountain penned and so can you.
There you go. I'll work on that cover.
So speaking of book covers, we actually have some Q&A that was submitted by listeners who wanted to ask you questions. And Alexander Kramer actually did ask, what is your favorite cover that you've designed?
So I don't have a favorite cover, but I think probably one of the most interesting covers. So I actually have two. So probably the most interesting cover I did was I did a book cover for Dolly Parton's little sister. It was a cookbook of recipes that she had collected from churches around the South.
Oh, my God. What?
So Dolly Parton's sister looks exactly like Dolly Parton, just like 10 years younger.
Okay.
Exactly like Dolly Parton.
Are you insinuating something?
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
Exactly. And then a few years ago, a book cover that I...
Wait. What did Dolly Parton's sister's cookbook cover look like?
Church.
It actually had her on it.
Oh.
And
with like a piece of cornbread.
Yeah. No. Right. Right. Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Just like little tiny cast iron skillets.
and there's a church in the background.
She's real sweet to work with. Yeah, she was real sweet to work with, and the cookbook was, it was fine, and there was, you know, just really great little sweet recipes from, you know, from these little old ladies from these churches.
So do you do the inside the book too, like formatting? Okay.
Not always. I've done more covers than I have done interiors, but, okay. You know, but I do interiors as well. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool gig. And then I do have one other favorite book cover. So a few years ago, a book cover that I did for a guy... the book was called The Peanut Butter and Jelly Sandwich.
What?
And I custom illustrated it, which is not what he wanted, but he loved it, and it went on to win first place in the self-published category at the New York Book Show.
Damn, nice.
Whoa.
That's awesome.
What did it look? Do you have a picture of that somewhere?
I probably do. Yeah,
can you send it to us? We can put it in the...
Okay, so how much does a book cover sell a book, do you know? Or what's your opinion on that?
You know, I mean, there's that old saying, you know, you never judge a book by its cover, but I buy shit all the time because of the cover. I mean, like, I buy beer that I've never had because it's got a cool can, or
that's like wine 101.
Matthew, yeah. 10 out of 10 did that yesterday.
Yeah, totally did at Cons.
That
Cons.
Cons. Cons.
Great beer store. That's cool. That's cool.
That's the place.
It's a smorgasbord. It's like the Disney World.
It felt dirty
beer.
Though.
Yeah,
it's just kind of weird.
What?
Grimy.
It's just kind of grimy.
It is kind of grimy.
What?
Yeah.
You thought it was dirty?
No. Just find it. You know what I'm saying, John. Like,
yeah.
For those of you who are not Hoosiers, Conn's is a liquor store here in Indiana that is rows and rows and rows and rows of beer and wine and liquor. I mean, if you can't get it at Conn's, you can't get it.
It's like a dirty BevMo.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Yeah, but like
listeners will know.
Okay.
But I listen to album, you know, I'm scrolling through Spotify and I see album art that I love, and
so
I'll click on it to see what it's all about, and I don't always love it.
That used to be the thing, which is you'd buy a record based on the cover art, but now it's like, what's next on my Spotify playlist, or what shows up, but you don't necessarily see the album
artwork. I don't know about you, I still buy records based on the cover art, because I go and buy records.
This is like N of one here with...
Yeah. I'm not the only person who listens to vinyl. Matthew said he bought Flaming Lips vinyl.
We have three people out of how many in the city who probably still actively buy vinyl.
You know there are three vinyl record stores in the city of Indianapolis that are all
thriving.
I'm going
to see myself out now. I apparently don't know anything.
All three of us are big vinyl people.
Yeah.
Which doesn't surprise me, because vinyl, fountain pens, watches, it's all very analog. It all goes together.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about, like analog stuff and just, you know, how much analog is your life?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, you know, I think a few years ago, Brad had me on the Pen Addict blog for kind of a question and answer thing. And I talked about this, and because I'm a graphic designer, I spend a lot of time at the computer. And so for me, you know, fountain pens, you know, folded nibs, whatever, any kind of sort of analog writing utensil is a great way for me to sort of disconnect from that digital, which is funny because then I take pictures of what I've done and put it on Instagram. So.
Do you have a digital or film camera or both?
Both.
Okay, so that's still kind of but you, using a digital camera now is almost fucking analog.
Right,
because an iPhone is now the new
DSLR, which I have a lot of feelings about as someone with a photography background. I have a lot of feelings
Matthew's
about
Matthew's also a photographer.
People
so
not having
what is your opinion on that?
On
using your iPhone
you mean you're taking pictures of your kids, like use a decent camera, man.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I guess
do you subscribe to the it's better to just have a camera?
I mean, I guess
the fact that they're taking a photo at all is an improvement.
Yeah, because it's like the best camera is the one you have with you, right?
Right.
You know, people aren't going to lug around a DSLR, but I love the idea of, you know, when I was a kid, my dad had a little SLR that he took pictures of me with, which I actually still have and use.
That's badass.
And then, so I don't know, I just think that, you know, certain occasions, like in, mm-hmm. you know, in your family history, warrant a good photo with a proper camera.
But Matthew is a legit photographer. His camera is the same as mine. We both use Canon. Right. But
You're a Canon guy. Okay, this is like this whole room is kind of divided because I have a Nikon. So.
Yeah. Oh. So Matthew actually in the studio with us actually has a digital camera, but it's not a Canon. What is that little
thing? Fuji. It's a Fuji X100. It's just a fun
little. Is that a 3/4? What is that technically called?
Yeah, it's an APS-C.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's not a full crop.
Yeah. Like it's an APS-C sensor.
Yes,
that's a crop sensor.
It's a crop sensor.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. Yep. But there's also like a 3/4 too, right?
Yeah, there's the micro 4/3.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I've looked at those too. Which is eensy bitty.
So, do you like Leica cameras?
I do. I do. My bank account doesn't like Leica cameras.
Same. Yeah.
And like Leica's still putting out cameras. Like they released a film camera not too long ago, and it's like $7,000 for the body. And I'm like, you guys, come on.
Kat, have you ever shot with one before?
I have not because I don't know anyone who would willingly let me borrow that.
Just don't ever hold one.
No, I know, because I want it.
Yeah, it's really dangerous. That and, like, watches, so.
Yeah.
Which Matthew and I are going to talk about.
In the next episode.
In the next episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
As a cliffhanger, because we also want to talk about Kat's new acquisition. So, in the next episode of The Leaky Nib, next week.
Next week. In 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. Hold on. In 2 weeks.
Brrr. Wait, do your best Griswold family drum roll. Which one is going?
Oh, the old asshole grandpa. Yeah, he was great. I worked really hard on it.
So does a washing machine.
You worked really hard, Dad.
Let's wrap this episode up with another, if that fictional character used a fountain pen, what would it be? We left out Ellen Griswold last time.
And Cousin Eddie's wife.
And Cousin Eddie's wife. Also, so I was talking to one of our listeners, and I'm so sorry, I don't remember which person it was that told me this, but they said we were wrong about Cousin Eddie, that he would absolutely use a fountain pen.
Yeah.
Because did you see safari. That blue leisure suit?
And the white shoes.
The white shoes, yeah.
And it would be a white Real safari nice. That he painted, like, stripes onto.
It had, like, a blue stripe on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think like is that. Hilarious.
I like that.
So I think that's great. So what would Ellen Griswold have?
Ooh.
I think she would tell Clark, like, she wanted, an M600, like, one of those fancy Pelican limited editions.
A nice one.
Like, she would use, like,
like a violet one on sale right now at
LeeRink.com.
So.
No. I don't think so. I think she's a little more simple.
You think she's more simple?
I do.
Did you see that low-cut probably. White blouse she wore?
Yeah. Low-cut doesn't mean classy.
No, but it had, like... But it had the ruffles and the cute green satin skirt. Oh,
I think
on.
We're in disagreement here. I don't think.
Okay, so I said my thing. What do you think she would use?
I mean, definitely something like a little bit classy, but probably not as high end because, you know, Clark didn't get his bonus, right? So.
I mean, like, he did, though.
It's a cross that was given to her as a gift from Office Depot. He went to Office Depot on the way home.
I think
home
she
from
would
work.
Use one of those little, like, little gold.
No, it would be a Mont Blanc that he bought at the Mont Blanc store because he went in there like he did in the episode. Mm-hmm. And the girl's showing him how you can't see the line on the...
No line.
No line. You can't see the line, can you, Russ? And
the girl
in the Mont Blanc store is like, you should totally buy this. It looks great on you. And then he walks home with this $1,000 pen.
It's probably like a 144.
Yeah, yeah, something slim, something very
rollerball.
A little bit more elegant.
I bet he bought her a fountain pen. I bet he did. No. You think he would buy her a rollerball?
Yeah, he got convinced
to buy it. Whatever they were trying to clear out of the store, he bought it.
Maybe even a ballpoint. The twisty one.
That's god awful. Let's not. And then what about Eddie's wife?
Does she know how to read and write?
I mean, I would say she'd just like scratch it into the dirt with a stick. Or like a broken off broom handle.
Oh my god.
Mule kicked her once.
I was just thinking that was a kid.
Yeah.
Kicked her again. Kicked him again and she went back.
I don't know.
I think we should just only talk about the Griswolds for an entire episode.
We probably could.
It's the greatest movie. It's one of the greatest ever. And
if you can't tell, John and I both clearly watch Christmas Vacation every year.
How many times have you seen it?
Me?
Yeah. Like more than 10?
Oh my gosh. Probably like approaching 50.
Okay.
A lot. Because I watch it multiple times per year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the scene where he staples his own arm sleeve to the gutter is my favorite thing.
That's totally my dad. Yeah, I love it. It's great. So on that note, we're going to end with the fountain pen that people would carry is not a fountain pen.
Yeah.
Sorry, on next week's episode.
No, you know, Eddie is going to have a safari that's got racing stripes painted on it.
It'd be a rollerball safari.
No, it would be a fountain pen because he's fancy enough.
Nah.
Let me have this.
Nah.
He pretends to be fancy.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's it.
So, that's why it would be
so maybe
fountain
he
No, because those
him.
Shoes are not actually good.
Well, yeah, but. Okay.
Right. His white shoes are not
but
actually
it's a safari
good.
Actually
then it's not
good.
A safari. Oh, it's the Jin Hao knockoff of a safari.
That's it.
You totally would have a Jin Hao knockoff of a safari.
Yes.
All right, we've got it.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. Everybody, follow us on Instagram at The Leaky Nib.
You can follow
Jinks.
Wow. Do a shot.
You can follow me at Inky Cat Writes and John.
I'm at Lemur Ink.
And you can follow Matthew
at Hey Matthew.